জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, জয় গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরা বনচারী, যমুনা তীরা বনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, জয় গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরা বনচারী, যমুনা তীরা বনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jayom Vishnupad Paramhansa Paribrajaka Charjo Ashtottara Shato Shri Srimad Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadiv Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaurango. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaṁ Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I just thought of discussing about one verse and from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, eighth chapter. This chapter describes Dhruva Maharaj leaving home. The background of this chapter is that Dhruva Maharaj, the son, the eldest son at that, of King Uttanapad, had a stepmother. His father married to two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. And somehow, after marrying his second wife, he became so attached to his second wife that he started to neglect his first wife. And she was kind of completely left out. And as a result of that, her son also was neglected and left out. And that son was Dhruva Maharaj. And I mean, we have to recognize, I mean, these are very exalted personalities, but even in their characters, we find these anomalies. Uttanapada and Priyavrata, these are two sons of Sayambhuva Manu. Sayambhuva Manu is the son of Lord Brahma. Sayambhu's son is Sayambhuva Manu. And Manu actually appeared from Brahma's own body. And he is the first, he is our original forefather. From Manu started the mankind. After creation, from different personalities who are basically Brahma's children, the entire population of the universe began. And Manu is one of them. And from Manu started the mankind. From Manu, do we need that? Why? Haribol? It was all right. It's actually, now it's, there's too much feedback, I think. Okay. So from Manu started actually Manu and Saturupa are the two original couple. Prior to that, the progeny was carrying on through Brahma's mind. Most of the children were born from Brahma's mind, and mainly the first originators or progenitors, the nine of them, and the youngest one of them was Narad Muni. And Manu and Saturupa were the first couple. And from Manu and Saturupa started the procreation through union of a couple. And mainly human beings, mankind. So there, from Manu actually comes the expression Manava. Human beings, the Sanskrit expression for human beings is Manava. Because they are Manu's offsprings, because we are Manu's offsprings, therefore we are Manavas. Just like Danu's offsprings were known as Danavas. Diti's offsprings were known as Daityas. Aditi's offsprings were known as Adityas. So human population started from Manu. And Manu had two sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapada. So these two personalities are actually Brahma's grandchildren. Brahma's son and Brahma's grandson from his son. But you know, even in them we see these kind of defects in their character. So we have to understand that this is the nature of this material world. Like, we'll never find perfection here. Mostly there will be imperfection. Even in normal condition, we see that it is unfair for a husband to neglect his wife. But here we are seeing Uttanapada is neglecting his wife. But the result of all that is ultimately beneficial. That is the main consideration. So Manu's, Uttanapada's elder son Dhruva, one day when his father was he was playing with his stepbrothers, half-brothers, then rather stepbrothers. Then Dhruva wanted to sit on his father's lap. And his mother, stepmother, objected to that. And her point was, actually, sitting on the father's lap was like being the successor to the throne. And she was naturally very envious. And also there is reason behind that, because generally the eldest son becomes the successor to the throne. The king's eldest son, or the eldest son of the father, inherits the father's wealth, according to the Vedic understanding. So Dhruva was the natural successor to the throne. So his stepmother was quite upset about that. So when she saw Dhruva was sitting on his father's lap, just being envious of his situation, she just pushed him aside and told him that if you want to sit on your father's lap, then you have to come from my womb. Your misfortune is that you haven't been born as my son. So we can see that even in such exalted personalities, there is such envy. So we have to understand in the material nature is the place of lust, greed, anger, illusion and pride. So if we see those defects in living entities, we have to understand that this is a natural happening, a natural consequence of our being in the material nature. So, insulted in this way, Dhruva, who was only about 6 years old at that time, he just went to his mother and narrated the whole story, and he was crying, and he was complaining why I had been treated like that. And his mother advised that just accept it as your destiny. Nothing happens accidentally in this material nature. So don't complain, just accept it. And while advising in such a wise way, she also, when Dhruva asked that how he can rectify this defective situation, little boy, but asking, what should I do? Like, why am I being treated like that? And mother felt helpless, and he told that just depend upon Hari. Depend upon Krishna. If you have any desire, just appeal to Hari about that. So innocently Dhruva questioned, where is Hari? Where can I find him? And so she mentioned that those who want to find Hari, they go to the forest. Hari lives in the forest. A simple, very simple answer, because generally when people want to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead or establish his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he goes to an isolated place like the forest. And Dhruva immediately left for the forest. I mean, this is the determination. And Prabhupada said that it was because Dhruva was a Kshatriya. And this is the nature of a Kshatriya. The characteristics develop of the individual, according to the Varnashram, from their very childhood. Because that is the soul. The soul is designed to be that. That's why they take birth in an appropriate family, through appropriate parentage. He's a Kshatriya. The Kshatriya means his spirit soul has that specific characteristic. That means, what is the Kshatriya? Initial consideration of Kshatriya is Guna Karma. Where is the effect of Guna Karma? In the subtle body. And the subtle body carried the soul to the womb of the appropriate mother. And there, from there comes an appropriate gross body. The gross body is the result of the subtle body. In other ages, the Varnashram system was so pure that in the womb of a Kshatriya mother, generally, a Kshatriya child would be born. Unless and until there is some defect in the time situation. Like we see that an exalted father like Kashyapa gave birth to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Similarly, Ravan and Kumbhakarna. Why? Because their mother approached the father at a wrong time. So otherwise, generally, a Kshatriya son develops a natural Kshatriya qualities. A Brahmana son develops Brahminical qualities. And this consideration was not only by birth, predominantly by characteristics. Like Ravan was born as a son of a Brahmana, but he was not recognized as a Brahmana. He was recognized as a Rakshasa because of his nature. Same with the Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So, anyway, Dhruva Maharaj from his childhood at the age of 6 displayed this characteristics of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means, one of the characteristics of a Kshatriya is whatever he wants, he must have it. And he will have it with his physical strength. That is a Kshatriya. And similarly, the Brahmanas will become situated, not interested in material affairs, rather interested in the spiritual topics. And Vaishya has the desire to fulfill. He has material desires, but he doesn't have a strength of the Kshatriyas. So he makes arrangements, trading, and makes money by doing that. And with the money he buys things. Brahmanas have their strength in their intellect. Kshatriyas have their strength in their body. Vaishyas have their strength in money. And Shudras have their strength in abiding by the instructions of the others. They have their strength in the skill. Shudras are actually, in the Vedic society, Shudras were very skilled. Like all these, these material skills were actually, like nowadays they are becoming recognized in such a big way. Painters, musicians, sculptors, all these people have such big recognition. But actually, according to Vedic understanding, they're Shudras. They have their skill. And today's society has become Shudra society. From that we can understand that the skills are becoming recognized. And everyone is practically serving somebody else. Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishyas, they're independent. They won't take up a job. It may sound unpleasant, but the reality is those who have a job, they're Shudras. And that's from that we can see that today's world has become a world of Shudras. Big, big personalities, big corporate executives, making millions of dollars, but Shudra, working for somebody else.
which means somebody else is using him to make his money and giving him some bakshish, some throwaway. So this is how we can see how the society degrades. In Satya Yuga, it was all Brahmanas. In Treta Yuga, only the Varnashram system started or became prominent. In Dwapar Yuga, somehow Varnashram was being maintained, but in Kali Yuga, Varnashram collapsed. No Varna, no Ashram. Anyway, to go back to the main point, Dhruva Maharaj, when he heard that Hari is the personality that he should approach to fulfill his desire, and when his mother said that he can find Hari in the forest, Dhruva just walked into the forest. And in the meantime, his father became very, very concerned about his son. He started to lament now because of his unfair dealing with his son. And at that time, Narad Muni came and consoled him. So that's the verse we'll discuss today. In the fourth canto, chapter 8, text 68. So since we couldn't write the verse on the board, no board also. Where is it? Okay, I see. Anyway, so so he's lamenting. Maybe we can read one or two verses from before. Uttanapad is telling Narad Muni. When Narad Muni came to him, when Uttanapada was lamenting to console him, Narad Muni came. Because this is another thing about Narad Muni. He's a preacher. Wherever he sees an opportunity, he just goes there. That is a preacher. He just waits for the opportunity. He sees that, okay, now he is ready to listen. So Narad Muni appeared. And he also has the ability to travel anywhere. And so he is lamenting, or he is confessing to Narad Muni. The king replied, "O best of the Brahmanas, I am very much addicted to my wife, and I am so fallen that I have abandoned all merciful behavior, even to my son, who is only 5 years old. I have banished him and his mother, even though he is a great soul and a great devotee. My dear Brahmana, the face of my son was just like a lotus flower. I am thinking of his precarious condition. He is unprotected and he might be very hungry. He might have lain down somewhere in the forest and the wolves might have attacked him to eat his body. Alas, just see how I was conquered by my wife. Just imagine my cruelty. Out of love and affection, the boy was trying to get up on my lap, but I did not receive him, nor did I even pat him for a moment. Just imagine how hard-hearted I am." So this is how King Uttanapad is lamenting. So then Narad Muni consoles him. Mama shucha Narada ubacha Mama shucha swatanayam Deva guptam vishampate Tat prabhavam avigyaya Prabringte jad jasho jagat Mama sucha stanay swatan mama sucha swatanayam deva guptam vishampate tat prabhavam abhigyaya pravante jad yasho jagat.
The great sage Narad replied, "My dear king, please do not be aggrieved about your son. He is well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although you have no actual information of his influence, his reputation is already spread all over the world." So please repeat after me. The great sage Narad replied, "My dear king, please do not be aggrieved about your son. He is well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although you have no actual information of his influence, his reputation is already spread all over the world." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes when we hear that great sages and devotees go to the forest and engage themselves in devotional service or meditation, we become surprised. How can one live in the forest and not be taken care of by anyone? But the answer given by a great authority, Narad Muni, is that such persons are well protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sharanagati or surrender means acceptance or firm belief that wherever the surrendered soul lives, he is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never alone or unprotected. Dhruva Maharaj's affectionate father thought his young boy, only 5 years old, to be in a very precarious position in the jungle. But Narad Muni assured him, "You do not have sufficient information about the influence of your son. Anyone who engages in devotional service anywhere within this universe is never unprotected." So, on the part of a devotee, he surrenders himself to Krishna and Krishna protects him. That is the reciprocation. Devotee surrenders. So that surrender is the most important aspect of devotion. Surrender is the foundation of devotion. Surrender or Sharanagati is the life and soul of devotion. Sharanagati hoive jahar Taharo Prarthana Shune Sri Nanda Kumar. And prior to that, Bhakotero Pran. The life and soul of bhakti is surrender. So bhakti begins with surrender, and bhakti develops with surrender, and bhakti makes us to surrender. We start off at certain point. And from that point onwards, this surrender keeps on increasing and increasing. And a pure devotee, what is the symptom of a pure devotee? Who is a pure devotee? Pure devotee is one who is completely surrendered to Krishna. Devotion begins with surrender. Our surrender may be just a little bit, 5%, 10%, doesn't matter. But at least when we surrender, our devotion begins. And it is according to the surrender, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts us. As we discussed the other day in discussing about when Vibhishan came, Sugriv and other monkeys suspected that he is Ravan's brother, so he should be trusted. But when they reported to Lord Ramchandra,
Then what did Lord Ramchandra say? That if somebody comes to me to surrender, I accept him. Even if his surrender is pretension. If one pretending to surrender comes to me, I accept him. Because at least there is some surrender. At least he's pretending to be surrendered. And then it keeps on increasing. Development in devotion means development of a surrender. From 10%, 15%, 20%. And then finally, it is 100%. So Krishna accepts us when we surrender unto him. Therefore, we have to recognize that our spiritual development is solely depending upon our surrender to Krishna. And surrender to Krishna means, surrender also is not just a theoretical expression. It's a practical thing. Surrender means surrendering of mind, surrendering of body, surrendering of words, surrendering of possessions. So, jo kichu mor, whatever I have, whatever belongs to me, that has to be surrendered. Nothing is mine, everything is yours. I am your servant. And everything belongs to you. And whatever is needed for your service, I use it. For your pleasure. That is the relationship between master and servant. The master possesses everything, especially in this case. Who is the master? The master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses everything. And we are his servant. And whatever is needed to serve him, we accept it and use it in his service. And that's the meaning of devotional service. And that's the difference between devotional service and renunciation. Devotional service is beyond renunciation. Renunciation is not accepting anything, rejecting everything. It doesn't belong to me, therefore I won't take it. So that is a good attitude. That's a good attitude. But even better attitude is to recognize that I am the servant of my master. And my business is to serve my master. And whatever is necessary to serve him, I will accept him because everything belongs to him. So, that example that we often think of, that Prabhupada gave, is there are three kinds of people. One kind of people, those who take everything, thinking that everything belongs to him. Or rather, let's go into that example that Prabhupada gave. A bag of gold is lying in the middle of the road. So one person sees the bag of gold and he'll pick up the bag and go away. Most of the people fall in that category. Isn't it? Like if you, in the middle of the road, if you find a bag of gold, of course you don't do that, I know. But normally, a person will just pick up the bag and go away, thinking that, oh, what a stroke of good fortune. The other person, another kind of people, will see the gold lying in the middle of the street and he will say, well, it doesn't belong to me, so I won't accept it. And he'll just go away. But there is another kind of person who will find out who the gold belongs to. He'll open the bag and find, oh, there is an address. And he will go and return that to him. So, the first one is a karmi, materialistic people. They will just take it and enjoy it themselves. Second class people, second one is a renunciate. And the ultimate one is a devotee. So that's the difference between a renunciate and a devotee. The gyanis, or those who are in the renunciates. Of course, the ultimate consideration of renunciation is sannyas. That's why in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established a special kind of sannyas. That is not the original sannyas of renunciation of everything. The sannyas order that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, established is the order of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham tarishyami duranta parang tamo mukundang hrinishevayaiva. I shall surmount, I shall go across this dangerous ocean of material existence, ocean of material nature, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda. So, this is the difference between a person who is rejecting everything, thinking that it doesn't belong to him. But better still is a person who uses everything, recognizing that it belongs to the proprietor. He returns it to him or engages it in his service. Or maybe there is another consideration after that. He returns it to the proprietor. And then the proprietor says, oh, you are such a nice person. You come and stay with me. Keep the gold with you. And use it whenever you see there's a necessity. You become my servant. So that is a devotee. Not only returning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but using it for his service. And the reciprocation is, the Lord says, okay, you become my servant. You stay with me. What an opportunity. Maybe the person is a beggar, but he's an honest beggar. He's begging, but he comes across this bag of gold and he returns it to that person who it belongs to, and that person then says, okay, from now on, you don't have to worry about anything. You, not only I'll take care of you in all respects, but you come and stay with me in my palace. And this palace is your palace. That is the reciprocation that takes place between the Lord and his devotees. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to receive this good fortune that has been created by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distributed by Srila Prabhupada. The process is very simple, and it's a matter of accepting the process and applying it properly. Often we just get caught up with some ordeals and rituals, thinking, okay, I am doing, I am fine. I am chanting 16 rounds, I am following 4 regulative principles. Although it may be difficult, but I am trying to follow that and so forth. But that is not just everything. That's just the beginning. But we have to make an endeavor to make progress. And that progress is according to our surrender. How much we are surrendering to him. Often we notice we are chanting. We are chanting, but where is our mind? Where is our mind? Many a times devotees come with this admission or confession. They're chanting, but the mind is not really in it. So here we have to consider, who does the mind belong to? Can I use the mind for my sake? For my sense gratification? Can I use the mind to think about all kinds of mundane things that is coming in my mind? Or the mind belongs to Krishna. So mind, I have an obligation to think about Krishna with the mind all the time, because that is the purpose of the mind. It belongs to Krishna, so it must be used in Krishna's service. Used in Krishna's service means think about Krishna with your mind. How many times Krishna reminded that in Bhagavad Gita? Mind, that's the main business actually, that's the most difficult business, to fix our mind, to control our mind, to engage our mind in the service of Krishna. And Prabhupada gave a very simple solution to that: hearing and chanting. When you are chanting the holy name, hear it, because that's the purpose of the holy name, Shravanam. So hear. And that is how the mind will become fixed. So when the mind in this way is fixed in hearing while chanting, the rest will automatically happen. From the holy name, Krishna will manifest himself. Ishat Bikoshi Puno Dakhai Nijo Rupo Guna. It's a bud of devotional service that is blooming a little bit. Ishat means little bit. Bikoshi means blooming. Blooming a little bit or unfolding itself a little bit. It shows his form and qualities. The holy name will show the quality as a result of proper chanting. And purno bikoshito hoiya broje more lai jai loiya. Now before that there is another consideration. Ishod bikoshipuna dakhai mor rupoguna chitto hori loi Krishna pash. And it steals my mind and takes it to Krishna. Krishna's form is so beautiful. After all, he is all attractive. So when we see him, or when he reveals himself to us, then our mind will automatically become attracted to him. It will happen naturally. The mind will be automatically attracted to Krishna. And then purno bikoshito hoiya broje more jai loiya. And when that bud of devotion, flower of devotion, becomes fully bloomed, then it takes us to Braja. We'll become transported to Braja, as if the holy name has taken us to Vrindavan. Or the holy name will take us to Vrindavan. And in this way we'll become transported to Vrindavan. This is the process. Everything is there in the holy name. It's simply depending upon our approach, how we are going to approach the holy name. Holy name is Krishna himself. Now the beginning point consideration is, the first consideration is how we are going to chant the holy name. We are chanting, but how we are chanting? So we have to become serious about that. When we see that after so many years of chanting, it's not really, the effect is not there, then we have to consider what's wrong. Let's seriously consider what's wrong. And the answer is simple. Some problem with our surrender and some problem with our hearing. Some problem in focusing on the holy name. Therefore, we have to take care of these two aspects. Approach the holy name, understanding that this is Krishna himself, and approach him with proper mood of surrender. And then chant attentively. Attentive chanting means hear. It's a sound vibration. How do you receive sound? Can you receive sound with hands? Catch it? How do you receive sounds? By hearing. So the reception of the sound vibration is through hearing. And if we hear properly, then what will happen? It will enter through our ears, come to the region of our hearts, and begin to shower nectar. And that nectar will inundate our heart. Our hearts will become submerged in that ocean of nectar. And then the rest will automatically happen. Once you have lost yourself in that ocean of nectar, you won't have to worry about anything. The rest will automatically happen. You will see Krishna, you will become automatically attracted to him, and eventually you will become transported to the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Om. Does anybody have any question or comment? Swami Krishi Prabhu.
Chanting at the same time, we should meditate on the form of his lila.
Prabhupada didn't encourage that actually. When asked, Prabhupada said, well, you may think that you are going to meditate on Krishna's form or Krishna's lila, but mind will drift away. You may start off with thinking of the lila, but then you'll find that you are not thinking about Krishna's lila, you are thinking of something else. That's why focusing the mind means hearing. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also spoke about it, but originally Jiva Goswami spoke about it. He said that from the holy name, Krishna's form will become manifest. From Naam, the Roop will become manifest. From the Roop, his Goon will become manifest. From Goon, his Leela will become manifest. From Leela, his associates will become manifest. His abode will become manifest. It will automatically happen. The form, what we are seeing now is we are seeing with our material eyes. We are seeing Krishna, but are we really seeing Krishna? That's the consideration. We are seeing Krishna's form. This is Krishna. But because our eyes haven't become, our vision hasn't become spiritualized, that's why the perception is not really spiritual. So, you see, and that spiritualization will take place because of the purification of our heart through the chanting, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Through the chanting, the heart will become cleansed. And as the heart becomes purified, then the real perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take place. This point was made by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers once. I had the good fortune of being with him, and it was his Divine Grace Sridhar Maharaj. He was making that point, and he was telling that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we also go and see Lord Jagannath, but what do we see? The regular and the normal and the ordinary perception is an incomplete form, right? And we can't really relate to it. Like, whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Jagannath, tears used to come out of his eyes as if from a syringe. Pichkari, that word has been used, as if a flow of water, you know, coming out of, as if from a pichkari. Like, what was Mahaprabhu seeing? Who was Mahaprabhu seeing? So this is the difference between just seeing with our eyes and seeing with our spiritual vision. So that spiritual vision will develop according to the development of our love for Krishna. Then we won't see with our eyes, we'll see with our love for Him from our hearts. And for that we need Sambandha Gyan. That's why the Sambandha Gyan is so important. Who is He? That awareness will develop here, not an intellectual awareness, but awareness of love. And that's why then only Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanina. He's seeing, a pure devotee is seeing the Lord, not with his eyes, but Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanina. His vision has become anointed with love. Yes, Rishikesh. Yes, the quality will depend upon the purity. And the purity will depend upon surrender. So they are all interlinked, yeah. Both will take, all will take as simultaneously. Your spiritual life is beginning with chanting. But then again, it's something like which came first, the chicken or the egg? Can you figure out? No. You surrendered and that's how you got the holy name. And it's by getting the holy name, you're surrendering. So yes, I mean, but as it has been described, that surrender is the life and soul of devotion. So that is the beginning. Yes, Devangana. Correcting others while you are chanting yourself? Then what? No, what was your question?
Sometimes after we see others maybe chanting inattentively.
Attentively. Inattentively. It will depend if that person is submissive to you and you have the responsibility to correct him, then do it. But for that matter, the best person that you can correct is yourself. But at the same time, you know, if you say, for example, if you are the monitor or the counselor, you have a group of devotees under you, yes, then you have to guide them. You have to correct them when necessary. Yes, Ratnaradhika. Let me just first answer the first one. You see, mind is the medium through which consciousness flows. So, consciousness is coming from the soul, and it is being projected through the mind into this direction, material direction, and then through the senses it's spreading out. That's how the consciousness is flowing. Right? So mind is the internal sense. We have five senses, five knowledge acquiring senses. They are running towards the objects of the senses. And mind is the internal sense that is registering the activities of the senses. Say, for example, an object is there in front of your eyes. Do you always see that? No. You see that object only when your mind is connected to the eyes. So the senses become active by the mind. So that is my, you know, does it answer your question? Mind is a separate identity. Maybe because you're a spirit soul and the mind is distracting you from your spiritual perception to somewhere else. And that's why it appears as if it's someone else. And after all, mind is not yourself. Although in the West, people often consider that the self is the mind. Because they have so little information, they can't go up to the soul. Mind is the limit of their journey. So they think that mind is everything. I am the mind. But the answer to that is that, well, when you fall asleep, where is your mind? When you're unconscious, where is your mind? But are you still there? You are there, although your mind is not active. So that is how we have to see that the mind is not our ultimate self. The real self is the soul. And the consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And that consciousness, unfortunately, is projected onto the material direction. Therefore, we are conditioned in the material nature. Now we are practicing to project our consciousness to Krishna. So the entire process is known as Krishna consciousness. Devotional service is the main thing, bhakti. The actual expression is bhakti, but Prabhupada used the expression Krishna consciousness for bhakti. Yeah, what's your second question? Good. Yeah, that is not mind. Mind is a material thing. Mind is a subtle material element. But in spiritual world, what you have is pure consciousness. The consciousness without mind is pure consciousness. So that is Krishna consciousness. That, and Krishna consciousness is direct perception of Krishna and the spiritual sky. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prema Pallavi.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try to understand the function of these three subtle elements. Three subtle elements are false ego, intelligence, and mind. False ego means, what is the meaning of false? Unreal, wrong, mistaken. And ego is the identity. Our mistaken identity is the false ego. Right? So, when a living entity turns away from Krishna and looks into the material nature, coming in contact with the material nature, he develops a tendency to think that he is the controller, he is the enjoyer. But is he the enjoyer? So that is his false ego. It's actually a material covering. It's a matter. It's matter, subtle matter, which covers us with the tendency to think that we are the proprietor, we are the enjoyer. Then we begin to plan or begin to consider how we are going to enjoy. That is the second covering of intelligence. And then through the mind, our consciousness flows towards the material direction. Okay, so these are three material elements. Of them, the subtlest is the false ego. The next one is intelligence, and next one is mind. And therefore, we have to start working on them from the mind. Because that's the grossest. Of the three subtle ones, the grossest is the mind. Or the first one that we have to deal with is mind. So when the mind is dealt with, how to deal with mind? How do you deal with mind? Deal with mind is to engage it in thinking about Krishna. The way to deal with mind is just engage it in thinking about Krishna. Then intelligence, who actually decides or plans, or like the intelligence will keep the mind in the right track, right? That is, don't deviate from Krishna. These are the things. What does the intelligence do? Intelligence do, they say, is sankalpa and vikalpa, acceptance and rejection. Accept the right course and reject the wrong one. So that is determined by intelligence. So intelligence then tells you that do this and don't do that. Right? And Krishna is saying that he provides that intelligence. That spiritual intelligence is devotional service. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Buddhi means intelligence. And buddhi yoga means spiritualized intelligence. So Krishna purifies the intelligence by giving us devotional service. And what is devotional service? Accept whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is not. So this is the way. Then what happens? The false ego, the mistaken identity that I am the enjoyer, is transformed into I am the servant of Krishna. And that is our constitutional position. That's our real identity. Yes? You mean those who are antagonist in Krishna's pastimes? Oh, Uttanapai. Yeah, okay. It's difficult to say. Like, the basic consideration is that everybody is acting according to guna and karma. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Everyone is acting according to the influence of guna and karma. But then again, when it comes to the pastimes of the Lord, then we can see that although there is an apparent guna karma consideration, but there is a higher consideration that they are being used in a certain way to play a certain role to enhance the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, the safest thing is to consider that those who are participating in Lord's pastime to think that they are Lord's associates. Their mother, Kaikasi, approached Vishrava at an inauspicious time. Yeah. I mean, even if it happens in Lord's pastime, so what to speak of? But Prabhupada didn't want to waste our time. Didn't want us to waste our time on that too much. Certain help, if necessary, you can take, but don't waste too much time. There was one devotee who used to always look at his palm. He used to read palmistry, and in the class also he used to look at his palm. And one day Prabhupada told him, don't worry about the lines in your palm. He said, when you surrender to Krishna, Krishna wipes them all out. So surrender to Krishna means, you know, coming under direct control or direct jurisdiction of Krishna. Yes, Rishikesh. Last question, because we have quite a few things to do. Yes, Prabhupada used to call that being engaged in your service according to your propensity. This propensity is the guna karma consideration. Everyone is not, like, if you're good at painting, just paint for Krishna. But if you're good at cooking, then cook for Krishna. But if we ask the painters to cook and the cooks to paint, then it won't be so nice. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.